Hey everyone, my name is Steven, and thanks for checking out this message today. We are so glad that you are here and want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do this is to text River Connect to 97,000. There we can help answer any questions you may have or even pray with you. You can visit our website, theriverchurch.cc, to learn more about us and what we are as a church. Finally, if you want to support the work we are doing here at the River Church, financially, please feel free to text 84321 with the amount that you would like to give. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning again, everybody. How are we doing this morning? Good seeing you all again. I know I was just up here a couple seconds ago, but I'm going to play as if I wasn't. As you can see, my name tag officially just fully fell off. I'm too sweaty in this thing, and I am refusing to take it off because it holds the microphone too well. So I'm not going to take it off. If I start to sweat and pass out, just keep praising. Just keep going. I'll be fine in a minute. But like I said, for those who don't know me, my name is Elijah Edwards. And again, I'm the family director here at the River in Lake Orion. And usually my crowd consists of much younger children. But I know as adults, we can just be as crazy as children. But if one of you could just continue to ask me to go to the bathroom every 5 seconds, I'll feel more at home with that one. But that being said, again, I'm so grateful to be up here this morning. I'm very thankful to Pastor Josh Yates for allowing me to be up here and to take the pulpit with you this morning. And all I just pray is that I'm able to just glorify the Lord with what I do this morning. So if you have your Bibles, we are going to be in the book of Romans, and we're going to be starting in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. Now, you don't have to turn there fully yet, as we are going to be in the book of Romans completely, but I wanted to start us off with reading this passage. And it reads, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function." Verse 5, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." And before I go into that, the reason I wanted to start there is because of what we are talking about this morning. To recap what we've been going through, is we've been in the book of Romans for quite a while now, and we're in this series now called Reach, Gather, and Grow. And if you've been out in the lobby, you've probably seen those glass, I want to say posters, but I know that's not a poster. I don't know why my brain just goes, poster. Posters are now glass now. But those glass things out there that say Reach, Gather, and Grow, that is the vision of what the River Church goes for. It's the idea of reaching the world, gathering with the saints, and growing in the word. And last week, Pastor Josh took us through the idea of reach, but took us through what's called Romans Road. Now, Romans Road is not just a name of all the roads in ancient Rome, but Romans Road, when it comes to the Bible, is an explanation through the book of Romans about how we are saved through Jesus and how we achieve that salvation and what Jesus did for us. And what Pastor Josh went through is that he went through the idea that we are meant to reach the world because we through what Romans Road teaches us, that we are meant to go out there and tell others about the good news of what Jesus has done for us. But today, we're in this idea of gather. And when I was doing research and study on this idea, my brain was like, yeah, gathering together, Sunday mornings, here we go, this one's going to be easy. And I'm telling you right now, this was the hardest study, the most difficult study I've done, because every time I was reading through these, there was always this question of why. Why are we doing this? And reach is easy. Why are we doing this? Because we've been commanded to, we've been called to let people know the good news about Jesus. And with grow, it's like, yeah, we're meant to grow in the word. We have to go closer with God. We have to grow and know him more. I mean, that's something we do in Awana. We want to memorize God's words in our heart. That way we know it and are closer with God. But when it came together, I just kept thinking about, and I know for those of you who are parents, and I'm soon to be a parent myself, my wife and I are parents ourselves, this question of why continuously comes up all the time. Believe me, with working with kids, I get called, ask why. There's so many different things that eventually I'm like, I don't know, we got to just do the lesson, man. Okay, sit down. But when the question of why comes up, it's important to know why we gather. So for all of us this morning, I wanted to pose a question. And that question is, why are we here? And it's not just about the building. We are blessed with a beautiful building for us to be able to gather in. But why are we here all together? See, every single one of us in this room is together worshiping, but also called this room for a reason. And when it comes to gather, we have to know why we do it in the first place. So before I go into it further, I need to pray for us. We give this to the Lord. So let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, and I cannot thank you enough for the absolute gorgeous day you've given us. And I cannot thank you enough for the people, all the people that are in here with us this morning. And I just pray for each of us that we are able to hear your word, heed it as true, and see the goodness in it because you are so good. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart are acceptable in your sight. You are my strength, my redeemer. Amen. All right, so again, being on Romans Road, as we are going through these idea of reach, gather, grow with Romans Road, and I almost got this idea and thinking, like, we're actually going to go down a road. So everybody pretend to put on a seatbelt. No, you don't have to do that if you don't want to. But we're going to put on our seatbelts, and we're actually going to drive down this Romans Road. And we're going to explain why we gather as we go down these different stops. And our first stop, Our first stop, it's this idea of an even playing field. Now, when I was younger, when I was going into college at 18, which is 10 years ago, goodness, I was really, really excited about college. I was excited to meet new friends. I was excited to get a wife. That didn't happen until like 10 years later, but I was very excited to get a wife. And I wanted to be with people who knew God's word and be together. And I heard about other colleges and secular colleges. And I was like, you know what? I want to go to Christian college because I want to learn. I want to do this for a living. But when I got there, what I ran into was these hierarchies of people. That if you didn't know enough about the Bible, you got put down. If you had sinned too much that week, you got put down. No, there was no love in what was going on. It was just showing, hey, I'm going to be a better pastor or I'm going to be a better minister than you because I know this, this, and this. To the point where my best friend, who I thought was my best friend, and as I was going through a difficult, depressing time in my life, looked at me and said, Elijah, pastors don't act like this. Stop it. That destroyed me. But as we're going through this first stop, it's important to know that there is no hierarchy in the house of the Lord. Our first stop on this even playing field, our first verse, we're going to be looking at Romans 3:23, which states, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody raise your hand. You fall short of the glory of God. There you go, sorry. All of us have sinned. And those of you who didn't raise your hand, you're lying. You just sinned right there. We all have sinned. In this first stop, this first verse immediately puts us all on the same playing field that every single one of us falls short of God's glory. Amen. Every single one of us are wretched sinners who need a Savior. And that's not this idea of, oh, you know what, then I'm just, if we're all just so bad, I'm going to just keep sinning, keep sinning. No, that's not what this is going after. What this is showing is that everyone in this room, as we gather together as people who, as people who believe in Christ, we need to realize that all of us sin. We need to realize that all of us need a Savior. See, the funny thing is, it's the same thing happened in college. We can just get locked into, you know what, I've sinned, but not as bad as that person. That's not what gathering is about. We don't look at people's sin and go, you know what, I'm better than you, this sin. No, we look at people's sin and go, you know what, I'm going to help you through this because I know the struggles this sin brings. Amen. And the same thing in Romans 5:8, which says, but God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I want us to look at the language of these verses. Christ didn't just die for just me, just those of us who believe in Jesus. Christ didn't just die for those who read their Bible every day. Christ died for everybody. He sacrificed himself because of our sin for every single person. So when we're sitting in this room, when we are gathering together at all, we rejoice in the fact that though our sin keeps us from God, Christ still died for it. Christ still died for all of us. And that should change the mindset if we look at people. That should change the mindset of how we see people in this room. We see people as we're together. And then the last verse of the stop, Romans 6:23, which reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want us to just sit on that for a minute, because I know for a lot of us who have been to church a lot, we've heard this over and over and over again. But if you're out here today and you're hearing this for the first time, I want you to know that this message of hope, of what Jesus did for us, is for everybody. The believer, the non-believer, the follower of Christ, the one that's not following Christ. It's for everybody, because if we are ever getting sick of hearing what Jesus did for us, we really need to check our hearts. Because what Jesus did for us, he did for all people. Because we've all sinned. We all fall short. We all deserve death and eternal separation from God because of that sin. But Jesus took the punishment for us. That is for everybody. And it doesn't just mean that we look out in here. We sit in these rooms and we see people of going, "Hey, you know what? I see that person hasn't been here for a while." Instead of just thinking, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to just judge them in this moment because they haven't been here for a while," rejoicing in the fact that they have come back to gathering. They've come back to the Father. That's the collection there. And again, as we continue to hear these verses and read them, I want us to, again, concentrate on that question of why are we here? Because I want us to see what Romans is getting at as we gather together. Now, we're on our second stop. Sorry, it's really hard not to just, like, want to do the car motion. But our second stop is salvation. Okay, so now, you know, you're probably just telling me, "Hey, Elijah, I know, okay, so I get it. We're all sinners. We all deserve the punishment of death. We all deserve eternal separation from God. But Jesus took it for us. But what does that have to do with gathering?" You know, I'm sitting here and I'm saying, you know, I can know this and read about this by just being home with my Bible. I can look up a sermon on YouTube and go, "You know what? He's teaching the exact same thing. I don't need to gather with all these people. I can do it myself." Let's continue reading. Romans 10:9 says, "It's because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Going with what Romans was telling us before in 3:23, 5:8, and 6:23, it is now a moment of when a person gets to this point of realizing they're a sinner, realizing they need Jesus, and going, "You know what? I want to give my life to Jesus because I can't do this by myself, and my sin is destroying me, and I need salvation." And this passage in Romans tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because not only did Jesus Christ die for our sins, but 3 days later, he rose again, defeating death, as we just sang about that, meaning death and sin no longer have any sting or have to have any sting over our lives if we give our life to Jesus. And Romans 10:13 says the same thing, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And that terminology again. For everyone and anyone who puts their own plan of their life, their own things that they want to do, lays it down, lays all their wants down and their selfishness down and puts their faith in Jesus will be saved. And again, what you probably think, okay, then that's great news, but what does that have to do with us gathering together for that? I'm saved. Okay, great. I'm going to go about my life being saved. Awesome. But this language is being used. Everyone, all. Those are words used of togetherness. It's really hard and sounds really silly to say you have one M&M and go like, I have all the M&Ms. That's one. It's not all of them. The point is that everyone together in this, that we all need a Savior, we all have sinned, we all fall short. And anyone and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And our last stop here, and we're going to be spending a lot of time here at this last stop. Because all the things before and these other stops are great news of understanding who we are and why we are the way we are and what we need in Jesus. But this last stop, we're going to stop at. And this last stop is called One Body and One Voice. If you remember what we read about in Romans 12, verses 4 through 5. It reads, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And the reason why I wanted us to begin with that is because this passage is pinpointing what gathering is supposed to be. That every single one of us, all the believers are coming together as one, as if many members all as one as the same function. I remember when I was a young adult in this young adult group, we used the passage about like-minded individuals. We actually called ourselves that because that was the whole point of we were getting together all like-minded. Now we were different. You know, some of us were correct, some of us were great, some of us were wrong, some of us were Ohio State fans, very wrong. But again, go blue. But again, we were all together. And the like-mindedness wasn't always that we agreed on things, but the like-mindedness was we all agreed that Jesus is Lord, and we are going to come together and support each other in that truth. Because every follower of Christ, every person who calls upon the name of the Lord is saved and now belongs to one body, a body that has many different parts, but is still one body, all working together for his kingdom. And Romans 15, 5 through 6 reads, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another and in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. One voice together. You see, the reason why gathering is so important, the reason why we need to come together is because when we want to reach, when we want to grow, when we want to do these other things that we have, yes, we can do them alone, but it is much better to do them together. As the Bible tells us, iron sharpening iron, but also as a gathering together as believers, we are encouraging each other. We are keeping each other accountable. We are working together. And that's what Jesus had called us to do because like a body of his kingdom, we all have a place on it. And going back again to the even playing field, even if you're a pinky toe, you still are important to the body of Christ. If you ever try to walk without a pinky toe, it's not a great time. You're going to fall over. The reason I mention that is because one of my pastors when I was younger had me do that, and it really hurt. We all are together in this, and we cannot be separate. We cannot just act like, you know what, I'm not going to go to church today just because, you know, I just feel like I'm not belonging there. Well, then in that case, the church is failing you with that if you're not feeling like you belong. But also for you, are you putting yourself out there to be part of that body? This is not a place of division. This is a place together where we can rejoice and glorify the Lord and all he's done for us. God is so good. And God is so good that he calls us to come together. And the important thing is, what all of this is saying is a phrase that I hear all the time, is that we cannot do life alone. We cannot do life alone. You see this in the Bible. You see this with stories of Paul and what he's doing with these writings. He is rejoicing at the gathering. He's rejoicing that they're coming together, and he is longing to be with them while they're in prison because he wants to be together with other followers of Jesus. And this morning, if this is the first time you're hearing this, if it's the first time you're hearing about this stuff about Jesus, going back to that question we asked of why are you here? Maybe you were invited, maybe you were welcomed by somebody, but the important thing is, when you're here, when you're with other believers, do you see that community? Do you see the goodness of God going through us? Do you see that we want to be together and rejoice together? And this, again, is not just about the building we have, as blessed as we are with it. The early church, sometimes they just never even had a building. But they still devoted themselves. In Acts 2:42, it says they devoted themselves daily of breaking of bread, of being together. They made it a point, the disciples made it a point to be together, to work together, because they knew they were better together. When they are called to go out and to reach, they are told to go do that together. And we experience that. And I experienced that myself. As much as my college experience wasn't always the best, whether I messed that up or not, I still had that community with two very specific men in my life, my best friends Christian and Patrick. Shout out if you're watching. They showed me what that community looks like. And yes, it may have been two of them, but these were men that I did life with, cried, strengthened each other with, goofiness, going out and serving together, this idea of breaking bread. And I really do think the idea of breaking bread comes in because if there's anything that brings us together, it's food. But that was the point of doing life together. That is why we are all in this room now. It is not just about hearing a sermon, which is great, but my sermons are the most important thing here. I'm sorry. It's about coming together as one group of believers and welcoming others who we know don't know him into here to see this community, to see the goodness of God through this community. It's about being together. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12:12, ooh, I'm going off of Romans. Ooh, we're like hightailing it off for a second. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Do we act as if we are one body? Do we act as if we are together? Or do we look and take those moments of when someone hasn't been here for a while, or also if they feel ashamed of, hey, I haven't been here for a while. You know, it's been a long time, and we've been telling you should come back to church, come back to church. Are we going to look going, hey, who's finally here? No. We go, we are so happy you're here. I am so glad you are here, because just as it is when we sin, when the father runs back to us saying, you've returned, my son has returned, as we learn in the story of the prodigal son, so true, we also should do that when people return here, because they are now part of the body again. They are with us. We rejoice. So what is gathering really? When we are saved by Christ and have rejected the sin in our life, gathering is coming together with believers, doing life together, serving each other, serving others together, breaking bread, loving each other in community. So as I call the band up here, as I close out here, I go back to that original question of why are we here? And to be more pointed at us individually, why am I here? why are you here? Are you here to just be here because it's good to be here on a Sunday? That's what I've been told to do. Or are we here because we want to grow together? We want to be together as one body, as the Bible tells us. We want to help each other, encourage each other, keep each other accountable, grow in the Word, worship an amazing God together as one. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that we can be together this morning. I'm just encouraged by all the people that are here and encouraged by the love that I've been shown personally by so many people in this room. And I just pray for us, we recognize why we gather here this morning and what it means to be one body in Christ, working together, loving together, praising together. And I thank you for that you don't have us do this alone. That you are always here with us. And as the Bible tells us, where two or more gather, I will also be there. We know that you're in this room. Thank you, God, for who you are and the opportunities we have to gather together. Regardless if we have a building or not, I pray that we continue to meet in each other's homes and our schools and to do life together. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.